Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. MTSU is pleased and grateful to have as a Fulbright visiting scholar for the 2007-2008 academic year Dr. Vladimir Ilyin, a professor of sociology at St. Petersburg State University in Russia. He arrived in January and he'll be here through October. And Dr. Ilyin is here to talk with us this morning about his work and his impressions of MTSU. Thanks for being, may I call you Vladimir?
Yeah, what kind of question?
Well, we'll just talk about consumption patterns first. Mm-hmm. How about that? Because that's what you study. So tell us a little bit about consumption patterns and the sociological aspects. Around here, when consumption patterns are studied, it's usually done by people in the College of Business, and they're looking at it through an economic lens. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you look at it through a sociological lens.
In principle, I work in two departments. Department of Sociology and Department of Marketing. Mm-hmm. So I am professor of two departments.
Okay.
So as a result, my teaching experience and my research experience is between these two fields, marketing and sociology of consumption. And my approach is a bit not traditional for marketing research, because marketing research is in America and in Russia now more focused on psychological aspect of consumer behavior.
Why people buy what they buy.
Yeah, and they try to find psychological basis of decision making, psychological basis of consumer choice. I focus my attention in the research on cultural patterns which shape our consumer behavior. So consumer culture is a methodological basis of my research and of my course on consumer behavior. It's here the main difference. Mm-hmm.
So in your work, are you concerned with demographics, race, sex, income level, that kind of thing?
I am mainly concerned to discovering different patterns of consumer behavior, which may be shaped different factors, that is income and ethnicity, race and lifestyles, because according new trends in sociology, people are differentiated not only according to structural positions, according to their status position in this system of social inequality. But they are different because they follow consciously different lifestyles. It's free. It is a free choice. So there are two dimensions of consumer behavior. One is dimension is structural, social structural dimension, which is shaped by our incomes, by our age, by our by the region where we were born and where we live. And these factors don't depend on us. They are ascribed to us. This status is ascribed to us. I didn't select my gender, my age, my ethnicity, and so on. And second group of factors are connected to our free choice. We are free spend our money. The same volume of money we are able to spend in quite different way. We live in the same country. We are free to follow different patterns of behavior and principle and consumer behavior. Also,
so someone who say comes from the lower class or lower economic or lower middle class and is able through upward mobility or good luck or whatever to raise themselves up economically, suppose when they were raised in the lower class or poor home, they were accustomed to shopping at Walmart and they developed that kind of taste pattern. Mm-hmm. And after they became wealthy, well, their taste pattern maybe doesn't necessarily change. They don't necessarily shop at the high-end store. They go back and shop at the stores where they were accustomed to shopping when they grew up.
Very unclear boundaries between structural factors and factors which are resulted from our free choice.
Mm-hmm.
We call this factor in sociology as habitus, free habits.
Mm-hmm.
Habitus as free habits. It means that if you stay for a while, especially for a long while, in one status position, in class position, race position, or any else, you acquire customs, you acquire habits which are result of your development in this specific position.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the beginning, it's like violence. You external factors push you to behave in specific way. For example, if you have limited volume of money, you have limited choice, and you develop a specific lifestyle. It's not your free choice.
Right.
But after for a while, you adjust to this position, and when you have already new opportunities, you follow patterns which were shaped your previous stage of personal development.
Right. One of the things that they always say in advertising, especially broadcasting advertising, is when they put a show on TV and they sell advertising time in the TV show, they usually aim their product message at the younger demographic, the 18 to 24 year olds, because they figure if you are 65 and over, or even 50 and over, that you have established buying habits or established buying patterns, and you buy specific brands that you like, and you're not as likely to try new things or change new brands. Do you find that holds true?
Yes, it's true. It's the reason why during my research, both in Russia and here, I tried to find out historical roots of consumer behavior. It means that sometimes you are not able to understand current consumer behavior, taking into consideration current social, cultural, and demographic factors. Roots of this behavior are in history, in childhood. So as a result, people who shaped their habits during their first stage of development in childhood, they follow these patterns if their environment changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So even when people change country, they change class status. Sometimes they repeat the same patterns, which were typical for their previous stage. And if they change their pattern, sometimes it is a quantitative change. It means that they eat more, but they eat the same. They spend more money on leisure, but the leisure of the same type.
Mm-hmm.
Roots of phenomena of conspicuous consumption, which is category is connected with the name of American economist and sociologist Veblen, who studied so-called new Americans in 19th century, new rich in 19th century. And the same phenomena we now see in Russia, when some people became rich, and it happens just recently. And
after the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, and they suddenly became rich. And their habits were shaped in Soviet time. And now usually they follow the same patterns which were typical in former times. But in quantitative dimension, their behavior is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at a qualitative aspect of the behavior, sometimes it's the same. They just consume this, their consumer behavior follows the same style, but quantitative characteristics are different. For example, in Soviet time, they had very old Soviet car. Now they have very new American Hummer. Here are quantitative differences.
Do they hold on to that new American Hummer for as long as they held on to their old car? I mean, in terms of not replacing it or not trading it in on a newer model? Or do they just hold on until it won't run anymore? Or do they trade up?
Now more and more people change their car following changing the volume of the purchase. If they have more money, they raise their expectations, raise their standard, and they change their car. So there is no one answer to this question.
Uh-huh.
People with limited buying opportunities use cars for a long time, and they use